Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So a three-legged talking dog walked into a saloon and said, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw." I know, it's a groaner. It's a stupid joke. But sometimes we remember stupid a lot longer than we remember eloquent. And there are things in the scripture today and things in this feast that the church gives us that are worth remembering. Holy Family. That's quite a title for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And it's quite an invitation for us all, married or not. But I'll get to that thought in a little bit. And that, by the way, is where the three-legged dog comes back into the story. But first, let's look at the gospel story that Luke gives us today. Only Luke gives us this scene. It is the only story in the four canonical gospels that we have about Jesus as a young man. There is a two-pronged point of the story that I think is really important for our understanding of who Jesus is. First prong. Jesus is rooted in ordinary humanity, in an ordinary family, within an established religious tradition. They fulfill the requirements of the law. They observe the religious practices of the time. They are part of a community, a very ordinary community, human community. He's a child. He is listening to the teachers in the temple. Did you notice that? Jesus is being taught. It's a very human experience. This is the only gospel story where we see Jesus being taught. Now, clearly, he's a somewhat exceptional student. He astounds everyone with the depth of his understanding. Yet, and here's the second prong, Jesus has a unique relationship of sonship with God, and he knows it. Somehow, Jesus understands that he is a child subject to the authority of human parents, yet he knows his identity beyond his biological family of origin, to his family of deepest origin. He knows deep within himself and without a doubt that he is beloved of God. That's the difference between us and Jesus, I think. How many of us really deeply know all the time how we are beloved of God? Not only does Jesus know this, he acts based on this knowledge. His action, his whole life, springs forth from his truest self. This story is a first glimpse of the consciousness of the Christ, the anointed, the chosen, knowing who he is. This is our first look at the emergence of the Christ consciousness that Father Richard speaks of so often. It is this awareness to which Jesus invites each one of us. In this story, Luke puts this astounding understanding of being beloved into a 12-year-old. Now, whether Jesus, the Nazarene boy, had a complete awareness of his life's mission and path at age 12, I am not willing to speculate. If you want to see a theologian sprint, ask her or ask him to make a public statement about what Jesus knew of his life and when he knew it. They will skedaddle. It's very much an unsettled question. It is part of the mystery of our faith in the person of Jesus. But this much is clearly stated in the passage at the conclusion of the episode we just heard. It says Jesus grew. Again, a very human experience. He progressed in esteem, in the esteem of humanity and in the esteem of God. If you are one who is tempted to think of your search for relationship with God as a private, personal matter, a me and Jesus sort of thing, please note Jesus' own journey. He is rooted in community always. He goes into solitude from time to time, and it is important. And it is important for us as well. But for Jesus, it is always a process coming forth from his human nature and out of and rooted in his human community. Being part of this community is important to us. And then there's the matter of this feast of the Holy Family. If I were a very conservative fellow, this might be the point where I would cry out in fear over perceived cultural threats to the institution of the family. But I won't do that. The family is certainly changing. Social, technological, economic, cultural forces are all changing, and they are changing the family. But to characterize change as attack is both incorrect and unhelpful. We are hardwired for family. Family has withstood all that human history has put up against it. The question to which our attention needs to be directed is not how can we stop change. Good luck with that. Our question should be the question that Jesus asked in the Gospel of Matthew when he was preaching, remember, in the 12th chapter. He's told, your family's outside. They want to see you. And he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? The real question is how large, how inclusive is our definition of family? Jesus answered very directly. He said, whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. My friend Jane recently told me about an incident she witnessed at a grocery store, standing in line. A couple of people in front of her, the woman who had her groceries on the belt with a couple kids hanging off of her, got to the point where the total was rung up. This was obviously a woman of very limited means. And she reached into her wallet and pulled out her food stamp card, and there wasn't enough to cover the groceries. And she reached into her wallet and pulled out her charge card, and there wasn't any room on her charge card. And the line begins to murmur. And you know how we are. Everybody behind her began to look at does she really need that? Does she need that? Start criticizing her for trying to feed her family. While this is beginning to grow, the man immediately behind her, very quietly, reached out, handed the cashier his MasterCard, and very quietly said, just put it on my card. It was his family he was feeding. The woman was from one of the African refugee families that you'll see all over central Tucson these days. The man was not of African descent. He was of Jewish descent. And when my friend Jane complimented him on the way out, saying, that was mitzvah, that was a good deed given to the world, he said simply, Well, I teach ethics for a living. I thought perhaps I should act on what I teach. That's good advice for all of us. Now, back to that three-legged dog. The joke works, such as it does, off of our willingness to do violence to those who we perceive to be outside of our family. Jesus calls us to a vision of family that goes beyond biology, goes beyond a patch we might wear on our shirt for a sports team or a service organization or a nation. We're called beyond that to a definition of family that is all-inclusive. And he invites us, no matter the cultural changes and challenges in which we live, he invites us to make that family holy.